Okay, do I start?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, just give me a 2-minute warning. Hi, my name is Scott. I'm a compulsive overeater. Okay, I know I've been here before. Just a little background. I'm coming up on 30 years in program. In June and July, I will have 22 years of recovery. And for the past 19 years, I am maintaining a 355-pound weight loss. Yeah, so I do come for the big numbers. I am also a relapse survivor. And my food issues probably started really early, though it wasn't much. It was a slow start. Just looked like, it gave out false impressions. That was a normal kid, just liking the sweets or whatever else. But it started to come on later in life, where I learned to really want the food. To be sneaky with the food, to be lying about the food, and to where the weight was becoming on. It blew slowly at first, but then it really came on when I was a teenager. It did not interfere at first with my early life with being sports oriented. I did play Little League baseball for 6 years, and I was fine with it. Even though I was a bit heavy, I carried it very nicely, and it really did not interfere with it. We grew up in a Jewish home. There was always, while my parents didn't have much, there was always food there. There was never a choice, especially around the holidays. Some of the Jewish holidays, like Passover, but some of the other holidays, like Thanksgiving, it was always food-oriented. And I was always able to go to town. But when I started to gain weight, an alarming weight, it really alarmed my parents. And my parents tried to give me this to go after the weight loss diet-wise. They tried shame. It would look so nice if only you lost the weight. They tried to control the food, for example, they would send me to school with a lunch, no bread, just the fillings, because they didn't want me to have the bread, which was not the right way of doing things. So they tried to control it. They tried to get me to lose the weight by, bribery, $1 a pound, until they saw there was the same weight loss. I was getting paid for the same few pounds. My doctor was a screamer. I came into his office heavier than the time before, and I knew he was right until I got out of his office, and I went right back to the food. Somehow I knew that I would never be able to do it to satisfy anybody else. I was always looking for some magic potion, some magic formula that would get me to lose the weight and still be doing all the eating. Of course, it never really existed. And my teacher said he's smart, he does well, but he could do a lot better. The food was clouding my thoughts. It was clouding, the way I was thinking. And all I really wanted to do was just sit down in front of a TV set, zone out with a plate of food. That's all I really wanted. My best, of course, my best binging was when I was alone, and when I was with people, if I couldn't binge, it really drove me crazy not to be able to do things and to have to answer to somebody else. Rightfully, the only person I had to answer to was me, and so ran the gamut. Through the teenage years, my parents would give me money to get something to drink when I had lunches in school. And of course, I spent the money on food, and then when they found out about it, they gave me an extra whatever to get something to eat with the milk, and I spent the whole thing on food. This time I was more careful to be able to go off the grounds. Eat the food where nobody would see me. That's really what I was stuck to. And when I got, and I started gaining weight, I was so hard on my clothes during the 2 years I spent at junior high school, I can't tell you how many pairs of pants I wore through, not just the seams, but they wore out because I was hard on my clothes. My parents had to spend an awful lot of money that they didn't have to replace the clothes. And I graduated up the ladder from children's store to an Army and Navy store to a big man store and eventually a catalog. That's how bad it got. In my early 20s, you know, and I really wanted to lose weight. I would lose little bits of weight here and there just to satisfy somebody else, just because I wanted to be that people pleaser. But it never lasted. I always went back to the binging. When I really wanted to lose the weight, you know, I decided, you know, I wanted to lose weight. My sister gave me a copy of the commercial plan that she was on. Gave you a lot of food. You could literally eat your way to a weight loss, and I did very well. And the only reason why I did not go to these meetings was because I was too heavy to get on the scale. And I later found out they could let me weigh in because they had an extra piece. If anybody remembers the old-time balance scales that the doctors used to have, like from the 60s, that's what they did, and it would add an extra 100 pounds to the 350. And I weighed in at a little over 400, but I was like a star. I went according to the plan. I always ate the food. I was able to eat myself to a weight loss, I must have lost 100 or 200 pounds at least four or five times. I always went back to the food, telling the leader, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but the minute I had to write down my food, I went back to sticking to the diet because I was not about, to be honest, I'd tell him what I was doing. My parents sent me to a therapist, and I went not because I wanted to, but to satisfy them, and I spoke about anything but the issues. We need, in this program, we need the honesty. And I just was not ready to put up with it at all. I spoke about anything but the issues. My mother was, while both my parents were always well-meaning, there was always a good side to them. My mother was controlling, bit of a rageaholic, and my father passive. You know, so, you know, I was always doing things to please them, and somehow I knew I would never be able to stick up for myself. But like I said, the best things I ever did was when I did it on my own. And, you know, I had the body image issues. I did very little dating because I felt, who's going to want to date a person my size? Nobody's going to want to do it. And those women who did, I felt were being nice. You know, not the way to really go. And I saw myself as being alone and never being married. But once I started to lose the weight in earnest, and I was getting up here to close to a 200-pound weight loss, Somehow, I lost this body image issue. The woman I was seeing, I stopped seeing, and I started seeing another woman who I later got married to. And I felt, I've arrived. I don't have to worry about anything else. And I went right back to the eating because I was scared of being on my own and having someone else depend on me for the support. And I was going right back. And, you know, and my wife saw this. She got me to go to Overeaters Anonymous. You know, our neighbor shared with me what she went through, and I would not share back. And they were both pretty angry at me, but they realized like I had to do it on my own. It took me 6 years of constantly gaining the weight and gaining the weight and not being able to walk very far, not being able to fit into a booth at a restaurant or behind the wheel of a car anymore, until I hit that bottom. I pulled out a number that somebody had given me, to a rehab. No thoughts about coming back to OA. I didn't even think of it. And I literally was desperate enough to push my way in. You know, they said they don't have enough room. Well, I said, I'm going to show up there anyway Monday morning. They took me in. And sure enough, when I got into the unit, they had the steps and the traditions of the program. I knew I was here. I had gone when I and I now I followed their advice in earnest. They gave me a food plan. We had meetings there. When I came back, I went right back to the meeting I started with in Manhattan. And this time things were different. I was coming back to program because I wanted to be there. I came into this rehab. I was 471 pounds. And I did very well. The weight was coming off. I was able to walk around. My wife and I were able to go on our first real vacation, my first absent vacation. And little did I know, you know, almost 14 months into program, into recovery, and somehow I was too innocent to see what was really going on. When I went back to work, and I came home from work one morning, I found my wife in bed, the victim of an attempted suicide. And I felt everything drain out of me. And that was the recovery draining out, but it took a few days of seeing her in the hospital to go back to the food. I saw a sign in the deli, 3 items for $1, and I went for it. I was in relapse for the next 7 years, and the second stint in rehab did no good because I was doing it to save my job and my marriage. I lost both. I was on disability for almost 7 years. I was in relapse for 7 or 8 years. But the one thing I always did, I never stopped going to the meetings. I knew how much I had to be here. I had to be here to do the service and to keep looking for that recovery. What got the recovery was the fact that a rehab did very well for a friend of mine. It took 2 years, a two-year fight with the insurance company. This rehab took me in, and I went down. They gave me sugar and flour-free food plan, and I didn't think I'd be able to go for it because I was afraid to give up the sugar and the flour. But too many people were hoping for me, so I went down, and I did exactly what they said. I learned to keep up an apartment and to do my own shopping and my own cooking as part of the treatment. The 4 weeks promised, my higher power gave me 8. I was there for 8 weeks, despite the fact that I was taking care of a sick father also. So I was there for 8 weeks. They sent me back, and I took on the service to do, you know, whatever I could to a higher level. I came back. I lost over 100 pounds during those 8 weeks. And I was able to do whatever I had to. I made at least 4 to 5 meetings a week. I took on the service, and I start to move up the line. I came back to my intergroup, and they asked me to come into intergroup for some service. I did the positions, and they sent me up to region as a region rep. And I was doing it, and the service has been very, very important to me to keep me anchored and to as a sense of importance and a sense of gift of actually reaching out to another person because I'm being helpful in running a meeting. I'm being helpful in running the region. And then I eventually moved up to World Service, and that has been the best thing. Please stick with, you know, anybody who's suffering, stick with the service. Stick with coming back. Reach out to other people. We really have to be here. This community is a very, very loving community. I found that out. I've developed such good friendships within here. You know, where we would do anything for each other just for some help. Just for some help. And in this recovery, I've regained the ability to walk. Because I could barely make it across my apartment. I was reduced to getting around on a scooter. Now I average 5 miles a day, at least. I've gone from being unemployable to a good job at a major hospital. And at a time when my wife was told by a doctor, if your husband wants to live to see 40, he better do something about the weight. Well, I was 40 when I came into program for good. And now I've reached the goal that I didn't even think I'd live for. For almost 5 months ago, I was able to retire from my job. And for someone who was not supposed to live to see 40, I recently turned 70. That age almost doubled. It's a blessing. That higher power is here to work for you. Embrace that higher power. Take it. They have led me to heights I never seen before. So I'd like to leave. So if you're struggling, please keep coming back. It will click for you. It did for me. If your recovery is still good, you have to stay here to stick with it. Please keep coming back. Stay here because we all need to be here. So I'd like to leave everybody here. I'd like to end a few minutes early and to hear from everybody else.
And did you want to leave your phone number before I stop the recording?
Yeah. My phone number is 718-877-4898. I'm on the East Coast time.
Thank you so much. Let me stop the recording.